Chapter 9, Lou. Watch and Titus drive away. I was never surer that I needed him. I had forgotten how great my life had been with him in it. It was more than just having my best friend back. It was like having a partner in crime. C wasn't a bad guy, but he wasn't a partner. He had his own life. Was that healthy for our relationship? Maybe, I don't know. But what I was sure about was that it didn't make me happy. I didn't feel alone when I was with Titus. I felt supported and loved. I was happy when I was with him. I couldn't deny that. I wanted to feel his strong arms around me and his lips on me. I wanted to get lost in his touch as we took on the world together. But how was I supposed to do that considering everything that had happened? Maybe the distance between us had become too great. Maybe the two of us weren't meant to be. But retreating to my lonely bed and remembering our nights together, I wished it wasn't. Sitting next to him, I could smell his scent. He smelled like flowers and musk. It was how he smelled after a game. It made my dick hard. And losing myself in the memory, I pushed my hand into my pants and clutched my throbbing cock. Laying naked on the beach, he had kissed the path down my body. My muscles had twitched underneath him. When his large hands caressed my balls and took a hold of my erection, my chest had lifted. I had inhaled, barely able to breathe. His warm mouth had sent sparks crackling through my body. I was weak to his touch. Anything he wanted, I would have given him. Remembering as he swallowed me, I pulled down my pants and stroked my cock. I could feel him touching me now. His broad body was all over me. His large hands gripped my chest, the tip of my dick pushed into his throat. Stroking harder and faster, my breath increased until I could hear myself moan. I couldn't help it. The thought of Titus was overwhelming. And when my toes curled and an itch shot from my inner thigh and tightened my balls, I exploded, letting out a yelp as I did. Out of breath, my mind swirled. I couldn't think of anything but pleasure. Thoughts of Titus floated around me. I ached, knowing he wasn't there to hold me. His absence from my tingling body nearly drove me insane with desire. Why had I sent Titus away instead of fighting for him? Why had I chosen C when I knew that there was only one person I could love? I needed to make this better somehow. I needed to have him back. What I had planned for his town meeting was a start, but it wasn't going to be enough. It was, as I thought about it in my orgasmic afterglow, that I eventually fell asleep. And when I woke up the next morning, remembering what day it was, I popped open my eyes, ready for the rest of my life to begin. Getting out of bed, I rushed to my travel bag, double-checking that everything was still there. It was. After heading to the bathroom and getting ready for the day, I left for the kitchen finding Cage. He and I had never spent much time together. I'd always only thought of him as Quinn's incredibly hot quarterback boyfriend. That didn't leave us much to talk about now. Morning, I said, joining him at the stove. Morning. How did you sleep? He asked politely. Sleep? What's this sleep thing you speak of? Cage chuckled. You not sleep well? Was the bed not comfortable? Oh, no, I said, reassuring him by resting my hand on his shoulder. Oh, I said, suddenly distracted by how hard his muscles were. Are you squeezing my boyfriend's shoulder? Quinn asked from behind me. I turned around, finding Quinn looking at me strangely. Quinn, fine, you caught me. This is exactly what it looks like, and now I'm in love with your boyfriend. Sorry, not sorry. Quinn stared at me tensely for a second and then shrugged and walked to us. You'll have to fight every girl and half the guys at the high school he coaches at. But if you win, give me a call, he said, brushing past me and kissing his man good morning. Well, I'm not going to go through all of that, I said, retreating to a stool at the kitchen island. Speaking of fighting for your man, Quinn began. You and Titus looked pretty cozy last night. I smiled. Didn't we? So, are you going to be doing anything about it? Or was it just for show? For show? What do you mean? Quinn and Cage exchanged looks. What? They didn't respond. What? Cage, do you want to take this one? Quinn asked. I turned to Cage, confused. Yeah, Cage, would you like to take this one? I asked, not sure I liked where this was going. I was half expecting Cage to back down. For some reason, he didn't.
I think what Quinn means is that you can sometimes do and say things for the reaction to it.
I gasped, dramatically clutching my imaginary pearls. Okay, yeah, I saw it that time. I told him, admitting he was right. But to look at it from my perspective, shut up.
Quinn and Cage both laughed. At that point, I would have been happy to tell them that they had been a great audience and to walk off stage. But Quinn didn't let me.
Look, we're not saying it's a bad thing. We're just saying that in your attempt to entertain everyone, you might be missing what's right in front of you. You think I was acting like I was with Titus to be funny?
Not funny, Quinn said, looking at Cage for the word.
I don't know what the word is. It's more... We just want the two of you to be happy. And we know that you're with C and your parents like him, but we also know how Titus feels about you. Then you act like the way you acted last night, and we just think that Titus is a great guy, and you two work together. But if you're not serious about being with Titus, maybe you should.
Quinn looked at Cage.
Stop leading him on, I asked Quinn.
Maybe.
So, shit or get off the pot? I confirmed. We just think Titus really cares about you, and I cut Quinn off. Maybe I care about him too. Maybe I spent all last night trying to figure out how we could be together, and that's why I couldn't sleep. Did you? Quinn asked. I stared at them.
You two don't know how lucky you are.
They both gave an uncomfortable smile and put their arms around each other.
I'm serious. You don't know how hard it is to find what you two have and then have it.
You don't think I see how great Titus and I are together? Don't you think I've always seen it?
It's not that simple, isn't it, though?
Quinn asked delicately.
No, it's not. Some of us didn't grow up with parents who loved us and wanted nothing more than for us to be happy. Some of us didn't grow up feeling like we had a choice about how our life could go.
You're right, Cage said. Some of us didn't. I was raised by a man who stole me from a hospital and made me feel that the only thing that gave me value was how I performed on a football field. Remembering Cage's story, I quickly backed down. I didn't mean you, Cage.
No, you did, and that's okay.
Sometimes we forget that others have gone through hard times too. But I got through it, and it wasn't easy. I had to choose to believe that what I wanted was as important as what people wanted for me. And because I did, I now have the privilege of being told that I don't understand how hard other people have it.
Cage, I didn't mean it like that. I'm not blaming you, Lou. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to tell you that there's a way past the obstacles you see now.
You just have to make the choice and deal with the consequences. And the consequences could mean that you lose things and people you care about, but it also means a chance at true happiness. You just have to make the choice.
You making breakfast, bro?
Nero said, entering the kitchen not wearing a shirt. His eyes bounced between the three of us.
Am I interrupting something?
No, I told him. Cage was just telling me how important it is that I make a choice about breakfast. Pancakes or waffles, like anyone could ever choose.
Pancakes.
Pancakes.
Waffles,
Nero said, completing the responses. I stared, silenced. Monsters, I exclaimed, before dramatically exiting the kitchen. And yeah, I saw it that time too. Cage wasn't wrong. Neither was Quinn. What exactly was my plan today? Yes, I wanted to be with Titus. I wanted it more than I had wanted anything. But if I got him, would I choose him? I had him before. And what had changed since then?
Shit or get off the pot. That was what Cage had said.
Why was it so hard? Titus was everything I wanted in a man and a partner. He loved me and showed it. And I never had a better time than when I was with them. So why was this even a question? Titus. I choose Titus. I'm sure of it. I told myself, finally realizing what I truly wanted. So, what do I do now? What was I supposed to do now? Not only was Titus about to make the most important speech in the history of his town, but I had to come to Snowtip Falls with a plan. I was going to find Titus's brother. I re-entered the kitchen to find everyone sitting around the kitchen island. In front of them were stacks of waffles and pancakes. After all that talk about making a choice, you made both? Ugh, I feel betrayed.
I said, getting a laugh from Cage and Quinn.
Are you going to join us or not? Quinn asked. Fine, if you insist, I said, taking the remaining opening seat and reaching for the waffles. Enjoying breakfast with everyone, it was 10:30 before we left the table and got ready for the town meeting. It was being held at the high school gym and would be going on for most of the day. Someone named Dr. Sonia had suggested that the organizers turn it into a kind of fair. So there would be someone there selling pastries. Titus's new business would have a table introducing itself to the town, and I asked if I could get a spot as well. I had considered running the idea by Titus, but had decided against it. Instead, I told Quinn, who told Cage, and as a known person in the community, he made all of the arrangements for me. With my travel bag in hand, we parked into the trucks and headed to the event. As we got closer, I got more nervous. Was I doing the right thing? Would Titus appreciate what I was doing? Would finding his brother help Titus? I was sure it would. What's this? Titus asked when he arrived and saw me sitting behind one of the tables that lined the room. Hello, sir, I began. My name is Lewis Armory, and I'm doing a project for school that deals with family trees in small towns. If you would like to participate, I'm giving away free DNA testing for today only. With it, you'll be able to find out which part of the world your ancestors are from. You might even find a long-lost relative, or two. Would you like to participate? It's free, I told Titus with a smile. Titus stared at me without saying a word. Getting nervous, I said, you said I could help you find your brother. Well, I'm helping. I figured that since your brother could be anywhere, the most reasonable place to start would be close to home. And when I heard about the town hall and was told anyone could get a table at it, I had an idea. What do you think? He continued to stare at me blankly. Okay, you're starting to make me nervous. I only did it because I thought you might like it. What if your brother was someone in town? You're not mad at me, are you? It was only then that his lip twitched. His stone face dissolved into emotion. That's the most thoughtful thing anyone has ever done for me. I don't get it. Who's paying for this? At least one good thing had to come out of my parents stealing my inheritance and controlling my life, right? Any samples I get, I'm charging to their credit card, I said with a smirk. You're amazing. Thank you for this, Titus said, moved. But he paused. But what? You haven't been to many small towns, have you? My family's estate is next to a small town, I reminded him. No, that's a ski town. It's not Nashville, but it's not snow-tipped balls either. As great of a gesture as this is, you might not get as many offers to participate as you think. It's free, I reminded him. So was a poke in the eye, but no one's gonna line up for it, he said with a sad smile. But what you did here, he tightened his lips. Really, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, even if you don't give away a single test. You don't think anyone's gonna get one? Titus shook his head, trying to erase what he said. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you'll have a line out of the door. All I'm saying is that I can't tell you how much it means to me that you've done this. Thank you. I blushed, hearing everything I wanted to hear. So, Cage said you have a table here as well. Which one is it? I asked him. Titus turned and pointed at the table with the beautiful black guy behind it. You're selling hot guys. I'll take one, I joked. Titus laughed. That's Claude, my business partner. Oh, that's Claude. Cage mentioned something about him. He's single, isn't he? Titus looked at me. Not that I am, or that I'm interested, I said, trying to back my way out of the corner. Asking for a friend. Titus chuckled. Would you like me to introduce you for your friend? I mean, it would only be polite, right? I asked, continuing the joke. Titus walked me across the room, drawing Claude's soulful eyes to mine. Claude, this is Lou. Lou's a good friend of mine. Lou, this is my business partner, Claude. We played in our high school football team together. Claude stood and offered me his hand. He was very different than Titus and Nero. Claude was serious and composed. He reminded me of royalty. I didn't feel like joking around in front of him. He looked like he had more important things on his mind. Nice to meet you. So, you two are business partners? What's the business?
I knew bits and pieces of what the two were planning, but Claude walked me through all of it in detail. They were going to sell adventure tours focused on the water passageways and falls surrounding the town. It was a seasonal business that would allow Titus to continue attending school, and it sounded like a pretty good idea.
So, how did you two meet?
Claude asked both of us. I told him in detail, even mentioning that Titus had met my parents. I could hear myself making Titus sound like my boyfriend. I wasn't sure if Titus wanted his business partner to know he was in the guise, but I couldn't help it. I wanted to be with him. I wanted it so badly that my heart ached thinking about it.
That sounds nice,
Claude replied sincerely.
Then maybe we'll be seeing more of each other when the season starts. Is Titus giving you the tour yet?
The tour? I asked Titus. I had to come up with where I would take people if they signed up.
When they sign up, Claude corrected.
Oh, I want to go, I said enthusiastically.
Really? Because it's a lot of walking through the woods with a canoe,
Titus clarified. That sounds fun.
Does it? You never struck me as the roughing it type.
What do you mean? I could be rough. You just have to ask, I said flirtatiously. Titus's eyes flicked up to Claude, who laughed.
There you go, he likes it rough,
Claude joked. Yeah, don't tease me, I said, looking into Titus's eyes. I knew I shouldn't have been flirting with Titus in front of his business partner while surrounded by all of his small-town friends, but I couldn't stop myself. It was all I could do to bottle up what I felt for him. Still, Titus wasn't out. I didn't know if he was attracted to guys who weren't me. I didn't know how he felt about me now. Maybe I was supposed to be his secret. Maybe what I had done had sent him running back to women, and he never wanted to think about a man again. I'm joking, I added, regretting what I said. I should go back to my table.
What are you doing over there?
I'm offering free DNA tests for school projects. Only you will see the results. You should get one.
Oh, interesting. Maybe I'll stop by later,
he said, flashing a brilliant smile. Claude was Titus's business partner, so there was no way I would do it, but the old me would have asked him out. There was something about him that told me he would be open to it. But that was the old me. The only one the new me wanted was Titus, and I might have again screwed things up with him by exposing him like I had. I'll walk you back, Titus said, joining me as I returned to my table. I'm sorry about that, I told him, feeling bad.
About what?
Making those jokes.
Why would you apologize for that?
I know I can be a bit of a show.
A show?
Yeah, I tightened my lips as my swirling thoughts jammed the path to my mouth. I don't want to embarrass you. This is your home. Everyone knows you a certain way here. I just don't want to ruin anything by mentioning what happened between us.
Ruining things by mentioning what happened between us.
Yeah. I turned to put my hands on his chest and then stopped remembering where we were. Yeah. I should go back to my table and recruit a few victims. I mean volunteers. I said, trying to lighten the mood. You should work the room, Mr. Politician. Lou, you should go, I said, wanting to be alone. Titus listened and left without saying another word. I watched him walk away. I didn't want to ruin his life. I didn't want to lead him on. I didn't want to hurt him. Maybe the best thing I could do for him would be to leave him alone. I didn't question how much I loved him. I loved him more than I thought it was possible to love anyone, but was that enough to be with someone? I'm a mess. I know that. I've always known that. I've always been more than even a mother could love. If I truly loved Titus, wouldn't walking away be the best thing I could do for him? That was all I could think about as I sat at my table. Quinn stopped by and sat with me for a while. So did Cage. It was good, because other than the occasional visitor who kept on moving as soon as they found out what I was offering, they were the only ones I spoke to.
So, what are you doing here?
A familiar face said, snapping me out of my thoughts. Callie, right? You're Titus's roommate.
And you're Lou,
he said, like we had met more than once. Right, I'm offering free DNA tests. He looked confused.
Why are you doing that?
I was about to go into my story about it being a school project and then stop myself. How close are you and Titus?
We talk,
Callie said casually. Did he tell you that he has a brother? Callie looked at me blankly.
Maybe.
I couldn't tell if Callie was being coy or hiding the fact that Titus hadn't told him. I was also too in my head right now to figure it out. Anyway, he does, and I had the idea to offer free DNA tests to figure out who it is.
Cool,
he said casually. When he didn't immediately run off, I felt a glimmer of hope. Did you want to take a test? It's free.
What would I have to do?
You spit in one of these tubes, I said, picking up one and showing it to him.
That's it?
Yeah, and then you fill out this form. They'll send you the results in a few weeks.
That's cool.
So you want to?
Sure.
I walked Callie through everything, trying to hide my excitement. I figured that him taking the test wouldn't help me find Titus's brother, but his willingness gave me hope that others might want to as well. Packing away his sample, I returned to things with a little more enthusiasm. I had a few more participants after him, but not many. The only other one who was close to our age was Claude, who came over as promised. Claude was another guy who had no shot at being Titus's brother, but at least today wasn't going to be a complete waste. Although Titus looked over a few times as he worked the room, he didn't come back to me. I understood. I had told him to go for the second time. Why would he return? When the time came for the meeting to begin, the room was full. A fair-skinned 50-something woman with a slight Jamaican accent gathered people's attention.
Hello, your attention, please,
she said, quieting everyone.
Thank you for coming. As you know, we are here to discuss something important for the future of our town. One of our impressive young community members has proposed that we incorporate, and we are here to listen to both sides of the debate. I was thinking that I would have each of them make their argument, and then if you have any questions for them, you can find them later as they circle about. Sound good?
The crowd mumbled and the woman continued.
Presenting the argument for why we shouldn't incorporate will be Dr. Tom. You all know him. Most of you have removed your pants for him, so he needs no introduction. Dr. Tom,
she said, calling him forward. Everyone clapped. As the round-bellied, bearded Latino man talked politics and money, I watched Titus. He wasn't paying attention. He looked like he was going over notes in his head. He looked nervous, and all I wanted was to wrap my arms around him, letting him know everything would be all right. When it came time for him to speak, he stepped in front of the crowd and glanced over at me. I wish I had time to give him a thumbs up, but he looked away too quickly. Mine was just the first eyes he looked into. As he stood there, not saying a word, he scanned the room. It was only when heads began to bend towards each other to whisper that he spoke.
You have to forgive me. I'm not the speaker that Dr. Tom is. He's been a leader of this community for a long time, and I think we should give him another hand for that.
Titus led the group in applause. Dr. Tom held up his hand in acknowledgement.
When I originally came up with the idea to incorporate the town, I'll admit that it wasn't exactly for everyone's best interest. You see, I'm starting a new business with a high school classmate, and for marketing purposes, I thought it would help if customers could locate us on a map. But that's not the reason I will be presenting to you today. The reason I'm offering is a lot more personal. Dr. Tom made the argument that Snowtip Falls is a good thing going here. And we do. It's nice here. Things are stable. But do you know the day that shaped the rest of my life more than any other? It was the day I met a couple who had come to town in search of family. The couple consisted of two men, which shouldn't have been anything new here considering we all grown up with Dr. Tom and Glenn, his husband. But it was. Meeting them changed me. It was because of them that I considered attending university. And I wasn't the only one. It was because of them that I considered something about myself that I had kept hidden. Meeting these strangers from out of town has led me to discover new passions. It led me to falling in love. It was because we opened our hearts and doors to the outside world that I discovered what it is to be in love. I found love because of them. I'm in love because of them. And if welcoming two strangers from beyond our community could have such a dramatic effect on my life and the lives of others, what could welcoming the world to our town do for you? Please don't just look at incorporation from a political or economic perspective. It's more than that. I fell in love with the greatest guy I could imagine.
because a couple of strangers showed me what was possible. Consider what you might discover is possible if we opened our doors to others. Consider what you might love. Thank you. Hanging on his every word. It wasn't until he stopped talking that I felt the tears rolling down my cheeks. There was no doubt that he was talking about me. I wanted to run to him and kiss him. I couldn't, though. Not because I wouldn't let myself, but because the audience had swarmed him in adoration. I wasn't the only one in tears. He had moved the crowd. I'd never felt prouder of him in my life, and never was it clearer what I had to do. Waiting, as he addressed everyone's many questions, eventually he made his way to me. We both stared at each other, not sure what to say. "Any chance you caught my speech?" Titus eventually said with a smile. "Here and there," I said, as my face tingled with warmth. "You mentioned something about liking it rough. Any interest in taking my tour in the morning?" My cock got hard as his body heat swallowed me. "Yeah," I replied, barely able to speak. "I'll pick you up at 8. Be ready," Titus said, before leaving me for a group of adoring fans. When Quinn came to collect me, he gave me a knowing look. He also knew who Titus was referring to in his speech. Everyone in our group did. "Should I ask Titus if he wants to come over tonight? I'm meeting him at 8 a.m. He's going to take me on one of his adventure tours," I said, feeling my face turn red. "Okay," Quinn said, smiling back. "Then I guess it'll be an early night." Getting the same look from Cage and Nero when we met up with them, I felt so much pressure. Titus had professed his love for me in front of everyone. What more could he have done? I had never felt more special in my life. After an early dinner and not a lot of conversation, I headed to bed, leaving the two couples to have fun without me. I had a date in the morning, and I couldn't be more excited. That didn't make falling asleep easy, but it eventually happened. Awake before my alarm sounded, I was dressed and waiting for Titus at 8. Hearing his truck pull up, I hurried outside. There was a large, yellow plastic canoe in his bed. Webbed inside of it were paddles and life vests. "Should I be worried? Am I going to survive this?" I said jokingly. "There's no way I would ever let anything happen to you," he said confidently. My heart skipped a beat, knowing he wouldn't. I felt like putty in Titus's hands. I was willing to do anything he asked me to. And as the morning went on, he asked me to do a lot. Parking the truck on the side of the road, we carried the gear for a quarter mile to a river. Putting on the vest and a helmet, we paddled down the river for half an hour. The crisp morning air was electric and the view was beautiful. From there, we removed the canoe from the water and carried it to the next river. That river had a series of rapids that were as thrilling as they were challenging. With every stroke, I thought we would tip over. We didn't. Titus was not only an excellent guide, but the hottest outdoorsman ever. We dipped in and out of the rivers all morning. By afternoon, I felt alive but exhausted. I had never done anything like it, and I loved it. But carrying the canoe the final few hundred feet, I could barely remain standing. "Can we rest?" I asked. Sure, I couldn't take another step.
"Do you hear that?"
I listened. The only thing I heard was the sound of crashing water. "What? The waterfall?"
"The waterfall. It's pretty close. Do you think you can make it there?"
I listened again. It didn't sound that far away.
Probably. But when we get there, I'm going to need to rest."
"Promise,"
he said, with one of his brilliant smiles. As the waterfall came into view, I realized why he had suggested that we keep going. Not only was the watery monster amazing, but on the far side of the lake was a blanket. He had set up a picnic complete with a picnic basket. It was the most romantic thing I'd ever seen. "Are you going to do this for all of your tours?" I asked, setting the canoe down and walking over.
"No, this one's special," he said with a confident smile. "Champagne?"
"Champagne? What are we celebrating?" I said, relaxing my weary muscles on the red and white plaid.
"We're celebrating you,"
he said, retrieving a bottle of champagne from the basket and filling two glasses. "Me? What are you talking about?"
"I mean that we're celebrating You, he said, handing me a glass. It's not my birthday or anything. It doesn't have to be your birthday. Every day I'm with you is a reason to celebrate. Cheers. I smiled, feeling good. We then both took sips and relaxed.
I think my body's dead. I told him, sinking further onto the blanket.
Did I work you too hard? You said you liked it rough. I chuckled. I did, and you did. Aww, Titus said with mock sympathy. I laughed. Shut up. Titus sat up. Here, give me that. He said, referring to my glass. I gulped the remainder of the champagne and handed it through him. He looked at me amused and then moved towards me. Roll over, he said, ordering me onto my stomach. I complied. What are you doing? I asked, open to anything. I'm going to give you a massage. Yes, please, I said with a smile. With my head turned to the side, I watched as Titus climbed on top of me. He sat on my ass and pushed his large hands across my back. His two hands spanned the whole thing at once. I felt small in his grasp. The feeling took my breath away. How's that? He asked. I couldn't answer. Do you want me to stop? No, I chirped, terrified he would. No, I repeated. Calmer. It feels good. Titus's fingertips pushed into my muscles, relaxing them. My thoughts swirled, bathed in the sensation. Losing myself, I felt his hands find the bottom of my shirt. His fingers touched my flesh. It was electric. I struggled to breathe. Do you want me to stop? No. Don't stop. I begged. He didn't. Pushing his hand up my back, he lifted my shirt higher and higher. Don't stop, I repeated. When my shirt pressed against my neck, he pulled it off of me. With his hands sliding against the back of my arms, he leaned down and kissed my back. His was a trail of kisses, each delicate and seductive, finding the canal of muscle down my spine. His lips entered. Spilling onto my lower back, they slowly climbed the gentle slope towards my ass. Do you want me to stop? He asked, breathlessly. I don't want you to stop, I said, offering him the final permission he would need before I lifted my hips and he reached under me, unbuttoning my pants. I was hard, very hard. His hand found it. Caressing it through my pants, his hand returned when my pants were off. Stroking my cock through my underwear, his teeth pinched the fabric. I wanted him so badly I could burst. Pushing his chin between my cheeks, I moaned for him. I wanted more. So much more that when his tongue pressed against the cloth covering my crack, I pushed my ass onto him. That was enough. With my waist off the ground, he took hold of my underwear and pulled it down. They only got to my knees before he pushed his tongue onto my hole. I had never felt anything like it. My entire body tingled. So, when he danced the tip of his tongue and pressed harder, he pulled me open, slipping in. Ah! I groaned, losing control. I want you to fuck me. Please, fuck me. I begged. I couldn't take it anymore. The crashing water, the tongue in my ass, everything was too much. But when he released me and returned with something wet on his thumb, it was a whole new sensation. Caressing my opening, he pushed on it. It felt so good. I wanted to feel him inside of me. It was the only thing I could think about. But when his thumb entered me with a pop, I wasn't ready. Ah! I squealed. The feeling was overwhelming. And then it wasn't. Quickly, I loved it. I had never felt this before. Someone was inside of me. Stretching me open, my legs quivered. When he slowly removed his thumb and rested his chest on my back, I was ready to explode. The first time I felt the head of his cock part my cheeks, it was a revelation. Someone was about to fuck me. But it wasn't just anyone. It was Titus. It was the only man I could trust. The one who had been there for me even when I didn't deserve it. So, when his large head found my hole and pushed onto my prepared opening, I reached back for him, with his hand on my leg.
He measured my pleasure and thrust harder. I could feel every inch of him enter me. It was too much, yet not enough. I wanted him to keep going as much as I wanted him to stop. And when the pain gave way to a flood of desire, I sunk my fingertips into his thigh, asking to be fucked more. Titus relented. Placing his legs on either side of mine, he propped himself up using my back. In position, he pulled back his cock. It was only enough to get a running start. When he returned, his crotch slapped my ass. Oh! I moaned. Yes? Yes! I pleaded. He then withdrew and pounded me again. Faster and harder he filled me. It was too much and just enough. It felt so good I thought I would cry. I loved everything about it. Titus was inside of me. The two of us were one. I'm coming! I screamed, not having touched myself. Titus breathed harder. So did I. Sinking my nails into his thigh, I held it back as long as I could. I wanted to hear his groans as he did mine. He was fucking me so hard I couldn't hold off much longer. My yearning to release was painful, and just when I thought I couldn't take it for another moment, when I thought my body would explode, Titus did. I followed. I bellowed. My finger was in a light socket. Then it wasn't. Titus held still as his cock flinched. When he moved again, I got another zap. It didn't stop until his large body collapsed on top of me. I love you, he whispered into my ear. I loved him too, but I couldn't say it. It wasn't because I didn't feel it. It was because I lost the ability to speak. Never had I imagined that anything could feel so good. My emotions were all over the place. It was overwhelming. My world tumbled behind my closed eyelids. And when my love wrapped his arms around me and pulled me tight, sinking my body into his grasp was the only thing I could do to not melt into a puddle of goo. When I could speak, I said, I want to be with you. I never want to be away from you again. How do we do it? He asked me. I don't know. I responded before my thoughts crashed into the real world like the waterfall into the lake beside us. Titus and I lay naked on a blanket for a while. We both knew the problem. We wanted to be together, but I was engaged. More than that, my parents controlled my life. They wanted me with C and had threatened to stop paying for school if I didn't do as they said. I was a junior. I still had another year left. I could never afford to pay for East Tennessee without their help. I couldn't even afford my dorm room without my family's money. Yet, I knew who I loved and what I had to do. I was going to have to figure out a way. I couldn't keep doing this to myself or C. Sure, C wasn't the greatest boyfriend in the world. He never texted me and we never did anything I wanted to do, but he wasn't a bad person. I'm going to break up with C. We can't do anything else until then. I told Titus, breaking the silence. What are you going to tell your parents? I thought about that. I didn't know. Maybe I could not tell them and they wouldn't know. If I ended things positively with C, then there was no reason they had to find out. I could just say that C was busy or something, if they ever asked about him. But what were the chances of that? No one in my family ever thought about anyone but themselves. I don't even think they remembered they had a second child when I wasn't around. I'm not going to tell them anything. You're going to pretend he never existed. Are you sure that's going to work? They seem to like him a lot. He's the gay son they wish they had, but that's not saying much. My parents always regretted having kids, so I'll just give them a space to forget I exist. And once my final year of school is paid for, I will walk away from them forever. I'm sorry, Lou. Titus said, pulling me tighter. You're just going through this because of me. I rolled over within his warm embrace and looked him in the eyes. That's not true. It is. And if I didn't tell you how I felt, you would still want to be with C, and you could still have your family. Without you, I would never know how it feels to be loved. Do you know how much that means to me? There have been times I've been so lonely I could barely get out of bed. You rescued me from that. It wasn't C, or even Quinn. It was you. You pulled me out of that. Don't be sorry for anything you do, because without you, where would I be? I asked, with tears streaming down the side of my face. Titus held me tighter. I wasn't sure he understood how much he meant to me, but if I got my way, I would have a lifetime to explain it to him. For now, I would have to show him by ending things with C. Eventually, the two of us let each other go and got dressed. I watched Titus as he did. This was the first time I could just stare at his nakedness. The man was beautiful. His body was even more godlike than when he danced for me at the estate. It had to be because of football. Did running up and down the field also explain his incredibly tight ass? What about his incredibly beautiful cock that swung in front of him taunting me? Nope, we couldn't do anything else until I ended things with C. I wanted to drop down in front of him and feed that monster into my mouth. I wanted to feel its ridges and veins with my tongue. What are you thinking about? He asked me when he turned around and saw my rising cock. Of all the things I'm going to do to you when you're officially mine, I'm yours now. I've always been yours, he said with a smile. It was weird, getting rock hard as he watched. As a guy, you spend your life trying to hide erections. As a gay guy, living in a straight world, getting caught with a bulge in your pants was even worse. But having Titus see me, all of me, as I was the greatest feeling I'd ever had. Do you want some help with that? Titus asked, referring to my brick-hard cock. No, that's okay, I told him, snapping out of it and getting dressed. I turned to him. But ask me again later, I said, blushing. Dressed? Titus packed the blanket into the picnic basket, dropped the basket into the canoe, and called me over. Together we lifted it and everything in it above our heads. As we walked, all I could think of was holding his hand. Maybe it wasn't all that I could think about, but it was the one thing I thought I could have. Completing the loop, we arrived back at the truck, strapping the equipment into the bed we got in and pulled away. The drive back to town was silent. I, for one, didn't know what to say. At one point, he lowered his hand close to me on the seat between us. My heart thumped seeing it. Shifting the place my hand near his, I looked out the windshield. There was a lump in my throat, knowing his hand was right there. I moved mine closer, needing him. Where was his? All I wanted was a touch, when something tickled my finger. It was electric. Warmth washed through me. I wanted more. I ached for so much more. But when he tried to put his hand on mine, I pulled it away. Not a lot, but enough. That was when he again found my hand and latched our pinkies. We drove like that, until we pulled up to Quinn's place. Are you coming in? I asked, not letting go of his hand. I should probably go. I didn't know what to say. I wanted him to stay. I never wanted to be apart from him again, but I couldn't be selfish. He had a lot going on. I would have to wait. Okay. Staring for a moment, I let go of him. It hurt knowing he was leaving. Peeling away, I opened the door. I couldn't do it. Rushing back towards him, I pushed my lips against his. A warm wave washed through me. It would have to be enough. Soon, though, and for the rest of our lives. How was the tour? Nero asked me when I found the group drinking in the living room. A plus, I told them. I recommend the ending. Titus asked me to invest, Nero told the group. I'm thinking about it. Quinn looked confused. Why didn't he ask me? Maybe he didn't want some city slicker coming in and ruining our fair town, Nero joked. City slicker? You know, with your New York money, he teased. He wanted someone who could appreciate the value of the experience. It was definitely a valuable experience, I told them. That's good to hear. Then he's got my money, Nero declared. Looks like Snowtip Falls is moving up in the world, and we're doing it homegrown style, he said, pleased with himself. Nero looked around at everyone. He was surrounded by Quinn, Cage, Kendall, and me. None of us were from here. Frustrated, he got up. Mama! He yelled. You didn't hear me, but I just said that Snowtip Falls was doing it homegrown style. He left in search of her. Mama! We all looked at each other and laughed. Quinn stared at me. So, it was good? He asked, knowing there was more. It was very good, I confirmed.
He responded with a smile and cozied up the cage. I couldn't wait to join this group as part of a couple. These people were my family, not the people who raised me. And being with Titus, this town was going to become my home. A tear rolled down my cheek from joy. As anxious as I was for my new life with Titus to begin, it took me a day to text C asking to meet. It took him 2 more days to agree to it. If I had any doubts about breaking up with him, that exchange removed them. The two of us weren't meant to be together. Yeah, we were both gay from an old Tennessee family and hot, but we only worked on paper. We were very different people who moved and communicated differently. We wanted different things. At least, I think we did. Who knew what he wanted? It wasn't like he shared anything deeply personal with me. We had to bring this to an end. Maybe then we could both get what we wanted. Arriving at the restaurant first, I was seated. It took him 20 minutes, longer than the time we arranged for him to get there, but I was willing to forgive him considering what I was about to do. "Sorry I'm late," he said, leaning across the table to kiss me. I shifted my head to offer him my cheek. His gesture reminded me of what I liked about him. No matter where we were, he was never ashamed to show his affection. It was something Titus was still working on. Him declaring that he was in love with a man in front of the whole town was a great first step. But there's something undeniable about C's unashamed confidence. I hope the next guy he's with appreciates it. That's fine, but I was thinking since the restaurant will be closing soon and you probably have something you have to run off to, maybe we should just order drinks. C sat and stared at me suspiciously. No, you have me for the night. And this place will be letting people in for another 30 minutes. I was just thinking that. He cut me off. Lou, what's going on? I was going to have to say it. I took a deep breath, centered myself, and spoke. See? You're a great guy. But I think we need to break up. I said sensitively. C's mouth dropped open. He looked stunned, but only for a moment. Regaining his composure, he looked around for a waiter. Making eye contact, he signaled for them to bring him whatever I was drinking. He then turned to me and casually said, "No." I stared at him, confused. Was he in shock? Had he not heard what I said? "What do you mean, no?" "No," he said, as if it were obvious. "I don't think it works like that," I said, unsure what was going on. "Can I tell you a story?" Before I could reply, the waiter put his drink in front of him. "Thank you," he said, with all of the charm in the world. He then turned back to me, not waiting for my answer. "Do you know how my parents found out that I was gay?" "How?" I asked, still confused. "I was 14, still not sure what I was, and there was a boy in my class I had feelings for, Brock. I didn't know if I was straight or gay, but I knew how I felt about him. I couldn't stop thinking about him. I decided I needed to be friends with him. The funny part was that he wanted to be friends with me, too. So, what happens when you put two horny boys in the same room together and they like each other? Stuff happens. And stuff happened one day when I had invited him to my place. Goddamn, the tension between us was insane. It was like being near made me lose my mind. Losing my mind was the only way I could describe it, too, because in my bedroom, without locking my door, the two of us got naked and left. Let's just say stuff happened. At least things began to happen. Maybe my mother was walking by and heard Brock groan. Maybe they suspected something and were keeping a watch. But when my mother opened the door to find me naked with my cock working its way into Brock's ass, I didn't have to come out to them, C said, with a chuckle. And I guess I should have been grateful because after my mother told my father, neither of them tried to pretend it was anything but what it was. Their son was gay and they accepted it, although accept might be too strong of a word. They tolerated it, but I could see how they truly felt about it every time they looked at me. They didn't despise me. They were just disappointed. It was like their dream died the day they discovered what I was. It wasn't like I could blame them. You know what it's like to be part of a family like ours. You are part of a society. There are parties and responsibilities, and now that they had a gay son, I wouldn't be able to play the role I was born to play. After 200 years, the power our family wielded would come to an end. I, of course, didn't care anything about that. At the time, all I cared about was finishing what my mother interrupted. Once I did that, and a lot more, I started to care about other things. Things like the shift I felt from my parents. It was like because I was gay, they didn't have a use for me anymore. I was dead to them. I wanted to get their love back. It felt gone. Forever. And that was when I started hearing about a boy from a prominent Tennessee family who was also gay. I looked him up online and he was cute. It gave me an idea. What if I could still have everything I deserved? What if I could have my birthright, as if I were straight? That was when I decided to transfer to East Tennessee and find you. I thought convincing you to go out with me would be the hard part, but you asked me out. Gotta say, that was unexpected, he said, raising his glass to me with a smile. And meeting you, I knew exactly who you were. I knew what you wanted. You wanted to feel loved. We had that in common. I knew you would respond to grand gestures, so I gave you one. And it only took 2 dates for you to agree to marry me. Amazing! We were meant to be together, Lou, he said with a confident smile and a lift of his glass. I stared at him stunned. If given 1,000 years, I would never have guessed any of that. It was disturbing. As creepy as all that sounds, see? I don't love you. I told him delicately. Is it the texting? He asked casually. It's the texting. I just get wrapped up in stuff, but I get it. I'll do better. He said, taking a relaxed sip of his wine. I looked at C, confused. I'm not sure you understand what's going on. I'm breaking up with you. I'm not going to marry you. Yes, you are. I'm pretty sure I'm not, but you will. The ridiculousness of this situation finally hit me and I laughed. See, laughed with me. Would you like me to tell you why you will? That would be entertaining, I told him. It's because, like me, you desperately need your parents' approval. Heat burned across my face. No need to be ashamed of it. I'm right there with you. And like me, there's only one path you can take to get it. I'm that path, and you know it. Being with me will give you the only thing you've truly wanted your whole life. That's why you're going to choose me, he said with a smug smile. I thought about it. His words were scalpels peeling my skin from my body. I was exposed. I can't deny what you said, I admitted. My family's approval was the only thing I've ever wanted. It was. You know what the greatest thing is about finally being loved? It makes up for all of the love you didn't get when you needed it most. I said, realizing that I was finally free. A smile on C's face disappeared. When I saw that, I smiled. Titus. Titus, I told him. C leaned back in his chair and released a slow, deep breath. This would have been so much easier if you just saw it the way I did. Well, we can't always get what we want, I said, feeling good. I'm glad you said that because you're right. But here's the thing, I always do. As I watched, something sinister entered C's eyes. It sent a chill down my spine. I didn't want this, but it seems you've given me no choice. What, C? Did you know that Titus is paying for school mostly with a state grant? It's to help less privileged kids pay for college. I didn't know anything about it, but it was explained to me by a family friend who's in charge of the program. Terror washed through me. No, see, wouldn't it be a shame if he lost the grant that allowed him to attend East Tennessee? It would certainly be a bummer for our football season. You wouldn't. I would, and more. In fact, did you know that the town he's from is applying to become incorporated? They want to self-govern. Isn't that adorable? They're growing up. And do you know whose name is on the petition? Titus's.
A different family friend told me that.
You wouldn't, I said, horrified. Didn't you hear what the stakes are for me?
Of course I would ensure his petition isn't approved. It would be so easy.
What you should really be worried about is the hard thing. Do you know what eminent domain is?
Oh, see, I said, feeling my heart break. Eminent domain is the right a state has to acquire land from its owners in the name of progress.
No, see, you see, for decades, the state of Tennessee has been wanting to build a freeway, but where?
That's a decision being made by another family friend.
Funny thing, I ran into him recently. When I did, I suggested a route. It missed every populated area but one. And the place it cut through didn't even appear on a map. Snowtip Falls.
Ever heard of it? Luckily, eminent domain would allow the state to acquire the land and build the freeway. How does that sound?
To me, it sounds like progress. Tears rolled down my cheeks.
Why are you doing this, C?
Why am I doing this?
You're really asking why I'm doing this? You agreed to marry a guy after 3 dates to prove something to your parents, and you're asking me why I would do this?
For love, Lou.
I'm doing this for love,
he said, with heartbreaking anguish in his eyes. That's when I was sure that he had never loved me. He couldn't love anybody. All he wanted was the approval I was willing to do anything for just days ago. The drive for that approval was powerful. It blinded you to everything else. His weren't idle threats. He would destroy Titus's life and Snowtip Falls if I didn't agree to marry him. He had me.
Catching himself, he sat up and looked around. He was back to looking like the guy I had fallen for. Every moment I had spent with him had been a lie.
But I digress. Let's not focus on the negative.
And what's the positive? He smiled.
The positive is that I've already discussed it with your parents. We will be having a December wedding, and your parents have graciously agreed to pay for it. You're going to be the second best-looking groom in Tennessee.
He looked at me enthusiastically.
You have to know that we are going to have an incredible life together, right? Merging our two families in no time, we're going to be running this state, maybe even the country. And wherever we go, you are going to be the perfect husband. Poised, charming. You're going to have to work on that, of course, but I'll help you with it. By the time we're ready to make our mark on this world, you'll know exactly how to act. It's going to be amazing. Oh, and you can never see Titus again. But that went without saying, right? We can't have a repeat of whatever happened last weekend, he said with a laugh.
Oh, now, how about we order dinner? I'm starved.
I couldn't respond. I couldn't breathe. In that moment, everything went dark. I passed out.